So preface by saying I am a Christian, I'm a Bible believer, and I am a globe earther.
Yay.
Yeah. Yay on which, wait. Yay on which of those?
The globe believer.
Yeah, I figured, yeah. So I actually happened upon some information that I would challenge one of your claims. Because I... or yeah, okay, so... A claim that you have echoed, should I say.
Oh, do go on.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, young Earth, right? So, let's talk about the age of the Earth. So, okay. I happened upon some information today that I would posit that the Earth is 5,000 to 6,000 years old.
Right.
As described in the Bible. Okay. And, oh, sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, so the reason why I would say this new information that I happened upon, I've never heard it before. It was called the accumulation mutation experiment that would indicate that the Earth is 5,000 to 6,000 years old. Are you familiar with accumulation mutation?
No, but I can guess it's one of two things. It's either going to be a genetic entropy lens saying that you can't have random mutations accumulate for billions of years because the genome would become completely unusable, or it's going to say there hasn't been enough time for enough beneficial mutations to have occurred. But... I'm happy to talk about this. I just want to run. It's not a tangent because it's with respect to the topic here. But do you think the universe and the Earth are the same age?
Oh, actually, I'm sorry. No.
Do you think the universe is billions of years old or?
Actually, yeah. So this is a very, I'm glad you brought this up. Yes, the universe and age. So actually, let me correct my posit.
Okay.
What I am trying to bring up is that human beings, sure, as we know them, had their origins 6,000 years ago.
Okay, so do you think dinosaurs?
From an original.
Yeah. So, do you think that dinosaurs lived like millions of years ago? Okay, so how old do you
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. When do you think the first, like, forget about humans. We'll go to humans. I have no problem doing that. But I'm just trying to figure out what your position in general is. When do you think the first living things showed up on Earth, same time as humans?
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, before living things on Earth were here before humans.
Okay, do you have a position on how long before?
No.
You don't think dinosaurs existed millions of years ago?
No, I wouldn't. Actually, I don't know. I'm open to that. I guess that's not really what I'm trying to bring up, unless you have something specific why you're bringing it up.
I ask those questions to see if what you're going to say about this particular thing is consistent with your view on the other things. So
okay.
I got all the information I need. Go on with whatever this thing you heard about.
Sure. Yeah. So basically if I can quickly summarize it by saying, hey, when we look at genetics and DNA of humans that are alive and walk into the doctor's office today, we can know genetic differences between them and their parents, their biological parents. And that seems to be chartable and measurable. And it seems like that is consistent from generation to generation. So it would seem like that terminates at a several thousand years old, if the math goes back. But if the same thing is chartable.
What math? Because a geneticist would say this can't happen. It can't lead to two humans, and it certainly can't lead to two humans 6,000 years ago, because the inbreeding that would happen from that would make our species extinct after just like maybe a couple hundred years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not even that, but.
So, okay. So it is my understanding that mutation accumulation experiment, maybe I'm not articulating it right, but I do enjoy the quote that says, hey, if you can't like say it briefly and succinctly or explain it to a small child, then you don't understand it at all. So I'm kind of pretending that I know exactly what I'm talking about by just pretending that I'm explaining it quickly. But accumulation mutation experiment would say again that like, hey, listen, the genetics from you and the genetics from your biological parents are measurable enough in their changes, and so is the same increment of change from your parents' genetics to your grandparents' biological grandparents' genetics, that becomes increments of measure that are regular, chartable, measurable, observable. And if you just logically follow that chart back, it would say that there is a the family tree branches back so far, and that seems like it would be approximately 5,000 to 6,000 years.
Okay, so I don't really know what to start.
Bro talks at 20 words per minute. I'm trying to specifically choose my words extremely carefully because Planet Peterson would rip me a new one because I know he is more well-spoken than I am and more educated than I am. So yes, I am speaking at 20 words per minute because I'm not trying to get ripped apart, chat.
Yeah, chat. Anyways, so I Googled a mutation accumulation experiment, and what I am getting here from the AI answer on Google is, it's a type of experiment designed to study the rate and effect of spontaneous mutations in the absence of strong natural selection. So it's something you can observe in a lab, but in absence of strong natural selection, that's going to be an important part of this. I'm certain, because, you know, once you add natural selection, then that changes the calculus at the rate at which things get fixed, the rate at which how many get passed down generation after generation in the population as well, because, again, there's selection in there. But how is this used as a clock that gets to 5,000 years ago?
Well, it is my understanding that one generation to a next, approximately 20 or 30 years apart, okay, from an average age of when human beings usually have offspring, right? Maybe about 20-ish years, maybe 30, has a certain amount of genetic changes that occur in the offspring. Mm-hmm. Well, if I can see that genetic change, and if I know that the average age of one generation to the next, I should be able to relatively easily chart that back in years, correct?
If you can know what the mutation rate is, and you can try to map that into the number of unique mutations or whatever that humans currently have, then you could possibly do something like that, maybe.
Okay, so is that not scientifically acceptable for a young Earth theory?
Well, I was going to say no, but now my answer might be yes. So I've never heard of this particular thing. I have read some papers that have been published by, I can't remember if it was Sanford or... I think it was Ron Carter or Rob Carter. the hell's that guy's first name? I don't remember. But I remember when I wrote my first book, I was looking at what is it that creationists do with the genetic data to try to get these young earth things. So I read a paper on this, and literally the first line of the paper was, in order to establish a genetic timeline consistent with Noah's flood, it's like, okay, so you're just creating a model where you can force, you can artificially force the 4,000 years by making all these assumptions about mutation rates and whatever, which is completely different than what traditional geneticists do. I think they completely ignored the chimpanzee genome, because being as we think they're our closest living relative, which they're the only thing the data says is that. But what we do is we take that and then we try to use that as part of our baseline for how we gauge how long did it take for these two genomes to diverge as much as they had. They just completely ignore that. I don't know what they rely on, just human haplotypes, which are like clusters of genes that get inherited together. And so you can look at just the human haplotypes and try to guess how long it took them to spread apart. I wish I had it memorized. I don't. I mean, I can try to find it, but give me 1 second.
Sure. Well, he's gone. And he's gone, folks. I can't believe he left me with his chat audience. And he's back.
And I am back. Yeah. So go ahead and say whatever you feel like saying.
I would say, yeah. So I will 100% agree with you on it is morally bankrupt to try to prove your point, like you're starting with your base assumption and then find the science that backs that up. That I would say that is unethical. That's not scientific. That's propaganda and like cultish to say that, like, yeah, so in order to find something that lines up with my already established spiritual belief, that's why I need the numbers to, you know, fudge the numbers. So I think that's morally bankrupt, and I would not ever want to say that, because I do consider myself to be scientifically minded and open to learning things that, you know, geology and scientific discoveries would say about the Bible or Christian spirituality. Mm-hmm. Did you find what you're looking for?
I thought I did, but this is a mitochondrial Eve thing, which is different. And that's from Tompkins, who's been so thoroughly humiliated at this point. I'm trying to find the quote. So, go ahead.
So while you look at that, you would say, a moment ago you did say that you said you first were going to respond with me with a no, but then you would change your answer to a yes.
Well, yeah, but only because what your question ended up being was, would that be consistent with a like creationist claim or model, or whatever? It's like, well, yeah, but I would argue they're not doing real science.
Just because one group of Christians who tried to reverse engineer to fudge their numbers to make it work for their propaganda doesn't mean that all Christians do that.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, like, there, when you're, I mean, but the ones that pretend that there's scientific data that backs this up, they don't have anything, which is why they have to start their papers off by saying, in order to force this data to fit what we were talking about.
So that one author wrote that one paper who started off that paper that way doesn't mean there isn't a well-established, you know, the people who are doing this the correct way, like myself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're just asking questions and trying to think about it. I don't have any problem with that.
So if I can pull you then closer to my side of the speculations about the universe, that it seems like you wouldn't disagree with me too much about this mutation, this chartable, observable, measurable genetic mutation would point to
Do humans? Yeah, I don't agree with that at all. Because literally, if you look at the human genome, 95% of it is shared with chimpanzees. So you can't say it goes back to two humans, because then you'd have to say, oh, the two chimpanzees go back to two humans too. Our genome would have to be completely different from every other form of life on the planet in order to say our genome goes back to two people that aren't the product of evolution.
Remind me what genome is again?
Genome is the entirety of your DNA. Only about 2% of your DNA is actual protein coding sequences, or in other words, genes.
So DNA, okay, yeah. So pretty. So the sequence of the molecules in a DNA strand. Now, does that mean the arrangement of the specific molecules is shared 95% same arrangement in the DNA of chimpanzees?
No, and this is where it gets Erica Guts at Gibbon just a few days ago. I watched the whole video. She created a pretty long video where she goes over the science of how do you actually compare the entire genome? Because like if I took like you and I are humans, so it would be wild to say that you and I are not that we don't share all of our it would be weird to like you have human DNA, I have human DNA, so we would be 100% genetically similar or
Well, I'm
whatever,
a
right?
reptilian, actually. I'm a skin changing, ship shifting reptilian,
Oh,
actually.
based. But if that's the case, or even like we can do something even more extreme. Take a well, that's not even that great of an example for a particular. Well, no, it is a good example. Take literally a brother and a sister, right? So they're as closely related as anybody can be, except for identical twins. But because he has a Y chromosome and she doesn't, if you line up their DNA, there's going to be literally millions of pieces of it that don't align at all. But we wouldn't say that. I don't know what percentage of your DNA your Y chrome having a Y chromosome makes you lose. But it's definitely like at least 2, 3, 4%, right? But it would be completely stupid to say that men and women are only 96% genetically identical. That would be stupid. So, and every single human being, except for identical twins, their genomes have all kinds of idiosyncratic differences, and that can even be like deletions, right? So if you took an extremely long sentence, here's an example of what this would look like. If you took an extremely long sentence and then you copied it, but in the copy, you literally just delete the first letter, then what that does is it shifts everything over. And if you try to line them up, literally nothing lines up at all. But it's really dumb to say that these two sentences are 0% similar in any way. So that happens with DNA because DNA gets duplicated, small parts of it get deleted, and then they can be shifted over. So essentially, what scientists, geneticists have learned how to do very well is they can take like imagine a book where I cut out the first letter of every 100th word, right? So if I just lined up the whole sequence of characters in that entire book, very quickly they don't line up perfectly at all, right? What they've been able to do is, well, let's just cut things out in sections and then figure out how to match pieces that have become like shifted or mismatched because of lost genetic material or added genetic material. They've learned how to do that. And like I said, sometimes creationists will either use, they'll come in and say like, oh, well, did you know that they just ignored most of the chimp genome to get the human genome to match it? Or they'll come up with a different way of sequencing to get the number down. But what they don't tell you is if you take that same alternate method or whatever and apply it to human beings, then the human DNA is not a 100% match. So it's like, according to your method, humans aren't humans. Is that what that means? So no, like bickering and quarreling over exactly how high the number is. For me, it's just actually kind of irrelevant because even if the human chimp number is lower than we think it is, if you use that different method, go ahead and use that method for all other life on the planet, and you'll still find that we're most closely related to the chimpanzees. And I can't find that damn thing in here. I looked in the two sections where it would be prevalent.
Is this the same train of thought that says we share the similar kind of thing with like 50% of it?
With bananas. Yeah, it's completely, that's completely false. That got screwed up by whoever the journalist that didn't know what they were talking about wrote it. What they did was they took the proteins that we happen to share with bananas, and then they looked at how similar are the proteins we do share with them. And on average, the proteins were 50% similar. So they said we're 50% genetically identical to a banana, or we share 50% of our genes with a banana. Absolutely not true. I don't think it's even 1% for a banana. It's extremely, extremely low.
But what you're trying to remind me of is that the amount of genetic material or genome sequencing or DNA structure sequencing we share with chimpanzees is 95%.
Whole genome, it's 95%. For just the genetic material, it's high 98%.
Mm-hmm. And that's unless my understanding of what DNA and genetic material and genome and the arrangement of molecules in a DNA strand is completely incorrect, that's not actually that impressive. When I just think that, like, isn't DNA an arrangement of molecules that is hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen,
the big four: hydrogen, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, carbon, and then phosphorus.
Mm-hmm. So those are like the Lego building blocks of what a DNA strand is.
Yeah.
And you're saying when we line up certain portions of that, we share 95% accuracy with chimpanzee.
The entire genome, yeah, 95% alignment sequence. Like, I can't remember. All the language is really specific to that, so I don't remember how they say it, but you can just say genome-wide 95% similar or identical. I don't know which term they use.
So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to pick apart at your, you said like, no, humans, we can't converge back in humanity to two people because we share so much with chimpanzees, when like we get any of these blocks, the building blocks of the universe, like hydrogen, phosphorus, sodium, carbon. And it's like, there's not a lot of different players on the board. It's not
you could make the argument there are only so many sounds that you can make, which is true. Like, there's a lot, but there are only so many. But if you sailed to an island that there was no historical record of anybody ever being at, and they spoke the same language as you, you can't, it would be unbelievably stupid to say, wow, isn't that crazy how they say the same words that we do? No, it would mean that at some point along the line, somebody sailed that is part of your group population, sailed to that island and inhabited it, right? So like, yeah, there's only so many atoms that make up DNA, but it's such a particular molecule. And if the only way, let me just say it, let me just cut to the chase. The only way for two things to like confirm scientifically that two things can't possibly be related is if they share no genes. That would be the only thing that makes any sense. Sharing even one gene with something you have no relationship with makes absolutely no sense.
The only way that relation can happen is from some kind of biological offspring. Because, like,
reproduction, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, what kind of, like, genome do we share with, like, you know, like, plants? I know we, not to go back to the banana thing, but, like, what about other organic material? Because...
Well, what do you mean by organic? Like, plants have proteins, we have proteins, they have lipids, we have lipids. Like, we share the exact same. Like, structurally, they will be different. Like, plants have cellulose, we don't. But they have carbohydrates, we have carbohydrates. Proteins, yep. Nucleic acids, yep. Lipids, yep. Vitamins, yep.
So humans came, does that logically follow that, like, humans, some kind of common ancestor with, like, trees?
I can't find that part in the damn book. And I know that I quote it in here. I don't know what the hell's wrong. So we share an ancestor with trees? Yeah.
Where is that convergence?
Oh, between humans and trees, it's like, I mean, off the top of my head, I think it's more than a billion years ago.
What was that thing?
Well, it's hard to say if it was even a eukaryote, to me at least, because we don't know. Well, I mean, maybe a molecular bio. Is a molecular evolutionist a thing? I don't know. Maybe they would know, but I don't know if we have any evidence saying if the nucleus formed before chloroplast or mitochondria capture happened. I don't know. But whatever the common ancestor between us, it was either a complex prokaryote or a fairly simple eukaryote. I don't know. But, I mean, mitochondria. Would it have had chloroplast? Probably not at that point. I would guess that maybe the animal plant split is the capture of the mitochondria. Yeah, that would make sense, I guess.
Is that only for, like, or does the ancestor tree or common ancestor thing go back only with, like, organic living things? Like, we don't have a common ancestor with rocks.
No, because plants don't have ancestors or offspring. The common ancestor of animals and plants is estimated to be, this is older than I thought, 1.6 to 2.1 billion years ago. Okay. Okay. Cool. I've never really thought about that before.
There is no common ancestor between, like, humans and rocks.
No.
There's no, like, okay. Yeah, light me up, chat. Light me up. Everyone go drop a follow. Okay. All right, point taken. I will withdraw.
Wait, I think I might know where that thing is now, because it wasn't where I thought it was. It was in a Y chromosome paper. I was trying to look for the damn quote, but give me a moment. Give me a moment. Break me off a piece of that Kit bar.
The people who watch your live are an eclectic and well-distributed bunch of not only do I very much enjoy watching your lives and the content and the back and forth and the banter that you have, but, like, the comments are brilliant. You have a very interesting audience.
Yeah, they can be really funny.
Degenerates.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Nope, never mind. How is it just not right here? It should be right here in this section.
I don't know, man. Well, you can't find that means I'm right and you're wrong and I won you in a debate, man.
That's probably what that means. Yeah, something like that.
All right, so here's what I need you to do since I beat you. I need you to make a video, tag me in it, and just a full apology and say that you recant everything that you've ever said negatively towards the Bible and Jesus.
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen.
All right, I'm gonna need to drop out.
Okay, sounds good.
In order to develop a biblical model of human,
genetic history, we have calculated a consensus sequence of the full length of mitochondrial DNA from a worldwide sampling of nationalities and ethnic groups. The developed model stands in direct opposition to the recent African origins hypothesis, currently the most popular model of human evolution. So, I mean, they're just literally being contrarian right off the bat and just kind of saying that's exactly what they are doing. There are several critical assumptions on the typical model. All parts of the standard neutral model of Kimura and the most assumptions have been openly questioned in the evolutionary literature by the guy. So he cites himself because that's the author. Robert Carter. So he cites himself as, you know, the secular model's been called into question. Yeah, by you.
Okay. So that's not a good look. But would you? Yeah. So how can I would like to read it. Where can I find it?
Just Google the title. The title is The Eve Mitochondrial Consensus Sequence.